You're listening to the audio version of Victory Condition Gaming, sponsored by Forget Me Not Flowers and Gifts in Barrie, Vermont. You can check them out online at forgetmenotflowersbarrie.com. If you'd like to follow us on Instagram and Facebook, search for Victory Condition Gaming, and you can also follow me on Twitter at DougVCGaming. And if you'd like to watch us live every week, make sure to subscribe to Victory Condition Gaming on YouTube.
I love sci-fi settings. I love sci-fi IPs in general, sci-fi movies. I'm an 80s kid, so I love all that stuff I grew up on Star Wars, Star Trek, pretty much everything science fiction. And then, of course, one of the most popular IPs that my wife just falls asleep whenever I put the movie on is, of course, Dune. And the 2020 Dune movie, the trailer just hit last week, and we're going to talk all about it and that and more on this episode 67 of the Chaotic Good Cast. Stick around. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Chaotic Good Cast, our weekly geeky roundtable. I'm your host, Doug Shute, and with me are my fellow casters, Rob Kalajian from a Pond's Perspective. Artist illustrator of story comic, Barney Smith.
My friend worked at the zoo to circumcise elephants. The pay was bad, but the tips were huge.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Barney had to get that one in because he will be absent next week on the Chaotic Good Cast. So we'll talk about that when he's back here on his mini podcast break next week. And of course, joining us last but not least is, of course, our Geek of the North, Jason Hunt.
I don't always drink ginger ale, but when I do, it's Canada Dry.
Oh my gosh. Oh man. Yeah.
What do you drink during the rainy season?
America wet.
Oh my god!
I want to say the bottle that said America wet. I would probably do it.
I want to give out a shout out to Hungry Ewok. Thank you again for joining us tonight, Hungry. We really appreciate everybody that comes on and watches this, record this live. This is, of course, recorded on our YouTube channel every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. If you'd like to join us while we record this and get to witness all the shenanigans that go on camera, as well as listen to us live, you're more than welcome to. If you're listening to us on the podcast, thank you so much for listening to that. We really appreciate it. If anybody that is listening has not hit that subscribe button, please hit that subscribe button, that little bell notification that'll let you know every single time we go live or upload new content. And if you like the Chaotic Good Cast, please hit that like button down below as well. All right, let's get to our first segment, which is, of course, New at the Store. Ben, take it away.
Where's Ben?
Crickets.
Ben is not here this evening.
Old man Kenobi?
Old man Kenobi.
Ben did send me a list of things that are new at the store this week. So let's just dive right in. There's a couple pretty big ones this week. Let's talk about the game that is going to probably hit shelves. It's probably going to hit mass market more than anything else. But I know that the hobby brick and mortar stores got this early, and that would be, of course, Marvel Splendor. This is a retheme of the popular board game. This is where you're collecting gems and earning points. I am not quite sure how they rethemed Splendor to a Marvel theme, but it looks interesting. I'm surprised that they're not Infinity Stones laid out, because that's kind of how Splendor is. I'll tell folks that I have played Splendor more digitally than I have in the actual physical game. Digital app is amazing. So if you haven't already played it, you should definitely at least download the digital app and play that. I think it's a few bucks on most mobile devices. But it's really, really well done, and it's actually a lot easier to play digitally than it is in person. But yeah, I haven't heard a whole lot of buzz about this. Rob, have you heard anything?
I haven't, and like you, I don't know how they're making that theme fit with Splendor. So what, you're buying heroes?
I guess
maybe instead of gems, and it looks like it's comic based. I see Rhino, I see Venom. Who else? We've got War Machine there, She-Hulk, Captain Marvel. Is that Moon Knight on the bottom?
It could be.
I see Ronin, I see Punisher. So I don't know. Are there extra mechanics in there that make it more
you know,
as far as Splendor goes, it's not a bad game. I know a lot of people really love it as a gateway game.
Yeah, it's a great gateway game.
Very, very dry. Like, even the Splendor theme of buying gems is very, very pasted on. So yeah, I don't see, unless there's extra mechanics or something, like what the deal is with Marvel.
But then if you add extra mechanics, it kind of like elevates it above a gateway game, which I would think. But yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna be really curious as to hear what the buzz is about this game, because I know that this definitely seems like a mass market play instead of you know, hobby shop. But it's nice to see that hobby shop's got this early.
It's cool looking. And the artwork is really cool. I think like you're right. I think this is more marketed to the mass market stores who are looking to kind of capitalize on the whole comic book movie resurgence. Because I can't, you know, even if you have Splendor, or if you're more of a hobby gamer, I couldn't imagine why you would go with this over regular Splendor. And then at that point, is Splendor even really as relevant of a game anymore, when you've got stuff like Azul and Sagrada out there now? And I'm sure there's more than that. Maybe it's, I know Splendor had its time in the sun, but
yeah, makes me wonder if we'll see like a Marvel Azul at some point.
Oh God.
Why not? There's Marvel everything else.
Yeah, absolutely.
Star Wars back in the day when you could buy Star Wars bubble bath and Star Wars.
Those were great because they came with the plastic Darth Vader heads on the bottle.
That was terrible.
I had He-Man bubble bath.
I had a Superman brush for the longest time.
I still have my He-Man electronic toothbrush. It's unusable, but I still have the whole base. It was like Castle Grayskull.
We'll have to ask Ben next week if Marvel Splendor was a big hit this week in the stores, because I don't see that flying off shelves hobby.
The only draw I can see is if they're trying to get people that play that like Marvel into games like Splendor, which is an odd take on it, I guess, because Splendor is basic enough as it is. It's really easy to pick up. It's not like you need a mechanic to draw.
Unless there is extra mechanics that maybe make it a little bit deeper of a game.
Yeah, that's odd. New mechanic. We'll get a follow-up with Ben next week. Oh, Cameron F. just joined us. Cameron F., what's going on tonight? Thank you so much for joining us.
How are you guys chatting on Groot? Do I have to go? I have to log into YouTube and to chat with everybody.
Barney, I'm so.
You go to click on comments in StreamYard, man. Next to private chat, it says comments.
I know, but I don't have. I have to actually log into YouTube because I don't have a thing to comment on.
If you want to actually comment, you have to be on the.
Yeah.
I'm surprised Streamlabs doesn't stick
such
that in
dad,
there.
Dad, Barney, such a dad.
Or not Streamlabs, whatever we're using.
It's StreamYard. Like, anyway,
did I get my preparation H on this too?
Let's get to the next thing that's new at the store. We're totally messing up Ben's segment since he's not here, by the way.
I just want to point that out. Ben.
Well, that's his own damn fault.
The other thing that is coming out this week is the newest Magic set, Zendikar Rising. I know this is very highly anticipated. I know that stores are not getting a whole lot of this product in because there's been some issue with production and COVID, so the stores are getting allocated all their orders, so they'll get some of it for pre-release and then some of it at a later date, which is much like what happened with the Jumpstart product. Yeah.
Is that, or is it a case of they're just trying to screw over brick and mortar stores?
You think that's it?
You're right, Jay. Yeah. Okay.
Get on Ben's side.
Jason, your volume just went way down.
Right.
Yeah. Why don't you try reconnecting or something?
Yeah. Come on. Hungry Ewok can't hear you. Neither can we.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if it's, I don't know. I know COVID has really affected a lot of timelines for a lot of productions of products. So it doesn't really surprise me.
I heard in an interview that somebody called this the year that never was. Like everything is just canceled.
It is. Everything is kind of delayed and canceled, and you know, so it doesn't surprise me that like they can only get so much product. But I don't know. It just seems like it. I don't think the stores have gotten their Jumpstart, you know, their second release of Jumpstart pack. So, I mean, it seems like it's going to be, you know, everybody's going to be panicking to get this first wave. And then once that second wave hits, is there really going to be a demand for it? Are people going to, because I mean, it's probably going to hit while the next, you know, hot set is coming out. I don't know. It'll be interesting to hear what comes out or what Ben has to say once he comes back next week about this, because and I think he's got enough for pre-release weekend, but I don't think he has much after that.
Yeah.
Jason, did you want to test out things or
does it sound any better now?
Much louder. Yeah. Okay.
Somebody needs to ask Christopher what the important thing that hit the web stores yesterday was.
I will tell you what hit web stores. Let's actually, Christopher Svetelson. Christopher is the designer and creator of the Black Void RPG, and he is subtly plugging the fact that Dark Dealings in the Shaded Sock, the wow. expansion, the adventure that is for Black Void, hit the web store yesterday. So go check that out at modifius.net. And
that
yeah.
book looks like one that I need to have in my hands to review. So, Christopher, if you want to send one over this way.
Huh. I'm buying the heck out of that hardcover when it comes out, definitely. Yeah, I've already got it. I told the guys at my not-so-local-friendly game store to get that in. Just for me specifically. Like I told him that it would sell by itself, but I wanted a copy myself.
Nice. Yeah.
So in Canada, the definition of local is how many miles?
Somewhere within 150 to 180 miles.
That's terrifying.
That's local. It is. If you're in Alberta where I am, I'm way up north. So
Rob, Christopher said to message him.
I'm totally going to.
All right.
Prime Minister him.
Yep. I'm gonna prime minister.
So that's speaking of RPGs. This is the other release that has hit the stores. It's hitting stores this week. Let's just bring it right in. A much anticipated release for D&D, which of course you can see from Rob's background.
Oh yeah,
Icewind Dale, Rime of the Frostmaiden. Rime
of the Frostmaiden. I got my copy in on.
I hate you for it.
On Monday. And this time, actually, Wizards sent me a nice little care package. So instead of getting the book, I got some nice Icewind Dale. I got two spiral-bound graph paper notebooks. I got the set of the dice with the box, the Icewind Dale box. Some extra dice, some D&D, what do they call them, pop sockets for phones. And then I got both.
Oh yeah. I think my teenager has one of those.
Yeah. Well, so my, Dell took one from me. Nice. And the other one's going to sure. be, hey, I wanted to put it on my phone, but I can't. I got a nice little dice bag, and then I got the standard edition and the collector's edition of the book. And it's a big book.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It looks like a big book.
I was surprised because I'm used to their books being a little on the thin side, to be completely honest.
Lately, so I have to say, like, Waterdeep Dragon Heist was a great book, and Mad Mage, I feel like, kind of got brushed over because it was just okay. But Wizards has been knocking it out of the park, like Descent into Avernus, Eberron, you know, Theros, and this new Icewind Dale book. Like all of the past few books have been outstanding in just the amount of content you get. So not only do you get the adventure, but you get like the Gazetteer and all that stuff in there. So even if you're not interested in the adventure so much, just all of the lore and everything you need for Icewind Dale in general in this book, I mean, it is packed in there, and the artwork is gorgeous, as you can see. And again, the dice set, the Wizards has really been making these collector's dice sets worth the amount they charge for them. So you get the box, which is basically two rolling trays. You get the set of dice. You get these little art cards with information on the back. And this one has a map of Icewind Dale on one side, and then like the 10 cities, so each individual maps of these 10 cities, I think it's 10, on the back. So it's a nice little collector's piece to get. Instead of just paying like $20 for a set of polyhedrals, you're getting a little bit more.
Their dice sets have been amazing.
Giant, it's almost like a shawl. It's like a very sheer cloth map of
map. I saw your Instagram video of it, and I was like, "What is going on? I can see his head through this thing. Like, yeah, that's
it's
weird."
Very sheer. I could wear it like I'm a babushka or whatever. But I'm just trying to think like what use it would have. Cause I guess if you hung it on a wall, it would look nice. It's beautiful. Like I wish I had a use for it because it's so cool. But the book itself is.
Use it
is
as a giant dice bag.
I should. But yeah, if you want to see what was in that box, just head over to Instagram, search for Pawn's Perspective. And there is a video of me unboxing everything that Wizard sent me.
Nice. Very cool. So yeah, I think that's all that Ben has new at the store this week. Let me just double check. I'm just looking at my notes. Yep, that's it. That's new at the store. But three very solid releases this week. So I hope that we'll see some good results for the store over the weekend. So
nice to finally see them coming out with some AAA titles again.
Yeah, definitely. All right, let's get to the Pop Culture Corner brought to you by StoryComic.com. And I think we're just going to talk about it because I think we need to talk about it. I think I am a huge Dune fan. I love the Dune like movies. It's been a while since I watched the 80s movies. Have you guys all seen I personally am one of the ones that likes the sci-fi miniseries that was out. Like,
I like the sci-fi miniseries much better than the actual movie that had come out with Sting.
Yeah, Barney, what about you? Are you what are your thoughts on Dune?
So I got a few thoughts on Dune. The first one was that I did watch the 1980s only because I was a huge David Lynch fan. Yep. So I like that. I never really saw the thing. I know I'm very familiar with the book series because it's, as I say, there's the main three science fiction juggernauts of the 70s and 80s, which is Star Wars, Star Trek, and Dune. So, and I'm very hopeful to see that this probably is going to be the Dune everybody has been waiting for to see. So
yeah, that is probably one of the best trailers I've seen in a long time. Yeah, let's just dive right, because there's a lot here that there's a couple things that I am kind of concerned about this trailer and about the casting of this movie. The person that plays Paul Atreides, who is the lead, I forget who. I'm gonna have to look it up on IMDb, but he seems really young.
I'm glad that he's young. Actually, I got the feeling
that Paul was young.
He was supposed to be young.
Yeah, in the book, he was.
Well, yeah, young. But doesn't the book takes place over quite a while, right? I mean, like,
but the first book doesn't.
Yeah, the first
book. Timothy Chalamet is the actor.
So it's. it's probably okay that he is young throughout this movie. Do we think this movie is going to be the first movie of many movies, or is it going to? I hope so too. The only downside is you don't think it will be. You don't think so, Jason?
I think that because Marvel's still the juggernaut in town, people are going to throw money at Marvel constantly for the next foreseeable future.
Right.
You're going to have a lot more people interested in pushing franchises like Marvel, which are marketable, than Dune, which is still extremely niche. It's a big thing in the sci-fi fantasy community, but it's not in the mainstream. People look at Dune and they see Frank Herbert's name on something and they're just like, what? What? Who is this guy?
Yeah, I think, but isn't there something to say about it? I think with the theater and the industry, like sci-fi movies tend to do very well. Like, so even though this might not be like a well-known, a really popular IP out of like the science fiction crowd, it still, I think, will attract a lot of folks that like sci-fi movies.
I think it will attract a lot of people who were just tired of Marvel.
That's true too.
I think the hardest thing though, I want it to be multiple movies. I think the hardest thing with Dune is that each individual book gets more and more batshit crazy.
I don't know if I would call it crazy, it's convoluted.
It becomes very convoluted. And yeah, the heroes become villains and it's just, it's very, very weird. And the ending, while it kind of wraps up this entire story, is just very strange. It's like, you know, what we told you in the first book, yeah, that's not really what happened.
It's super duper existential.
It gets very, very strange. I think the first two or three books are the least weird. But I mean, even Children of Dune and God Emperor of Dune are very strange books.
I bet, you know what? It'll be like the Matrix series. The first Matrix movie, everyone was massively in love with it. The second Matrix movie, people were like, yeah, okay, sure. Yeah, this is okay. Third Matrix movie, what in the actual heck am I watching?
Yeah.
Okay, so I would, yeah, Dune here's are phenomenal. Like, I loved all of them, as weird as
so did I. So did I, because I realized what they were doing with them.
Right.
But everybody wanted the first Matrix movie, which was just butt kicking, bullet time, right. Neo beating the snot out of everybody that came near him, etc. And that's not what they got.
Yeah, there's a lot of like philosophy and, it's kind of like going from Ender's Game to Speaker for the Dead.
Yeah,
right.
It's very it gets very spiritual towards the ending of the series.
Yes.
Barney, did you have something you wanted to add?
So I was going to say, I kind of, last week I disagreed with Rob. I'm going to have to kind of disagree with Jason on this one. I see that.
All the way up in Canada.
Here's the thing. This is not up to us. It's up to the movie studio if they're going to make a commitment to this, because I see this not compared to the Matrix, not compared to the MCU. I see a good comparison between this director to what Peter Jackson did for the Lord of the Rings trilogy. Mm. They went in and said, we're making three movies, plan on it.
Right.
And so, and they say, listen, and I think that's what has to happen. I just pulled it up. I wanted to make sure this is my concern. I just pulled up the director, Denis Villeneuve. I wanted to look to see if there was any pre-production of the sequel for this movie. It's not listed there yet, so which makes me kind of scared, because he's a fairly unknown director, and I think what it's, and there's two you said there's two audiences on this. The one audience are people who want to see. That want to see Dune, basically the people that aren't that want to kind of see that. There's as you said, there's the other audience who are just, this is the best time to do this. And are we going to see also I hate to say it. Are we going to maybe see an Artemis Fowl situation where they should have maybe just made this an HBO series? And
he is actually working pre-production for a mini series.
I saw that called Dune.
The Sisterhood. Yeah.
Yeah. The Sisterhood. So are they kind of doing a mass market, kind of like an entire world building thing where people can see everything on this?
I think this might be what they're doing. It's like, here's a big splashy movie. Go see the big splashy movie. Be interested. And then, hey, we're putting a lot of money into a series now.
Yeah, you know, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, and we've seen that with other movies too. I mean, that might be a new trend that we're going to see, because DC is going to do that with the Batman. The Batman is going to have that movie come out, and then it's going to have the Gotham series that is centered around Gordon after that. So it's not like, I mean, it kind of is smart to have these movies tie into, you know, regular content that kind of keeps the IP fresh in everybody's mind.
And actually, I just looked at the director again. It's always good to follow the director. He actually isn't new. He's actually done some really good movies.
He's got some good sci-fi chops. He did The Arrival. Yeah. And the
Blade Runner.
Yeah, 2049. He did.
Oh, I like that movie.
Yeah. So cinematography wise, like vision wise, he's got the chops to make this a successful movie for sure.
Yeah, and I would love to, as I say, it's a great IP. It's a great, you know, it's a great director. As I say, I'm hopeful that it'll follow the trend of as I said, the Peter Jackson stuff. What we'll also see, because this is another good thing I'm very hopeful about, when it's going to be being released is also during I said COVID is, you know, that 2020 is the year that everything didn't really happen.
Right.
How is this going to affect the Academy Awards too? If there's going to be a lot of Academy Award, Return of the King got nominated for Best Picture. Every single time would always get nominated for, you know, maybe not. Peter Jackson did get nominated for Best Director as well. Will there be some Oscar nods from the cinematography or the visual effects? Any of these
Or does it come out in 2020? Because we just saw that Wonder Woman just got pushed back to Christmas again. So that just keeps getting pushed back and back and back. It wouldn't surprise me if COVID is still a thing in you know, going in, you know, as big as it is right now, if it's not bigger in November and December, it gets pushed back into 2021. And it wouldn't surprise me if that's the same thing with Dune, and these movies just keep getting pushed off of the 2020 calendar, and then Bad Boys just pretty much sweeps the
yes,
the Academy Award,
So I think one aspect of this, and I think we're going to be hearing a lot of comparisons to this, not the Dune miniseries, not the Dune movie that David Lynch put out, but the Dune movie that never was created, the 1975 one.
Jodorowsky's or whatever.
Jodorowsky's. Jodorowsky's Dune.
I'm wondering if this is a remake of the old movie, or if they are actually following a new script. Because so far, from what I've seen, they seem to be shadowing the movie.
It does look like the movie a lot. In fact, there's a comparison video on YouTube, and I wouldn't, I won't play it again and bore everybody. But there's a comparison video where they show pretty much every shot for shot with the 80s movie,
which is fine with me, because I'm on the opposite side of the fence from everybody else. I thought that sci-fi miniseries was absolutely, and I love the movie.
Oh, okay.
Isn't that cool that his mic
dropped every once in a while when he says something I don't agree with. I don't even have to meet him on my own.
It's amazing how that happens.
Can we just mention how awesome it is to have Pink Floyd in the background of that trailer?
No, we can't, because it sucks.
No, it's awesome.
That's terrible.
Pink Floyd was supposed, like, well, the Jodorowsky's Dune actually had Pink Floyd music.
Yeah.
Dude, the song.
It should have stayed back there.
No, the song is perfect. Like, look at the lyrics to Eclipse, man.
Yep.
We're going to have the internet fight now.
We should have Salvador Dali come back from the dead, Orson Welles come back from the dead to be in there too.
Now, just as we're sitting here, and Jason says that he likes the 80s movie, and whereas, you know, a few of us have liked the sci-fi miniseries, do you think that the reason why they haven't greenlit another movie for this is the fact that it seems like the Dune fandom is very specific, like it's very particular with their movie. So maybe they're waiting to see what the reaction is from everyone, because we know that if this doesn't appeal to the Dune fans, they're going to bash it, and that's going to deter a lot of folks from going to it just in general. So are they waiting to see what the reaction is going to be before they go, oh, okay, yeah, no, it's been successfully, you know, it's been, you know, pretty well received, so let's greenlight another one.
I don't know. I would say I think there's a point where movie studios have realized that they've kind of overstepped the line on explaining how important the fan base is. I would say an example is, like, I think that's what would happen if the Dune fan base, and you know what, I would say this is one of those phrases that we never thought we would be hearing in 2020 is, you know, you're muted, or the Dune fan base is, you're gonna have to. It's such a niche audience that you're not gonna be able to make a multi-million-dollar movie purely for them. I think what you're gonna see is that you have to make it accessible and still make the Dune fan base feel.
Look, even the '80s movie, people were losing their marbles. The Dune fans hated that movie by and large.
I hated that movie.
Well, look at this. Look, I think what they should do is also look at the Game of Thrones. Look at that Song of Ice and Fire crowd. They were like, "Hey, great!" And then you know what? Then they're like, "Wait, what's going on? And like, this wasn't in the book." And like, what is going on? And then
as soon as you do something that's not in the book, you're like,
"But you know what? It still ended up having a really strong viewership.
It did
so."
Oh yeah,
I don't think the fan base
can really influence it as much as the people think it can.
Right.
Well, maybe with Marvel, maybe, but even that, Marvel's become so mainstream that you don't need people that are fans of comic books to see a Marvel movie. They'll just go see it because it's a spectacle.
Now, do we have a budget for this movie? I can't seem to find one anywhere. I've got to say, it's got to be up in the couple hundred million.
100,000?
Trailer. No, that's the '80s movie, not the
maybe.
I would say it's at least more than $20 that they spent on this.
More than
$20? Come on. I'm gonna try to see if I can find what the.
So the original movie was $45 million. Let's see, Dune 2020 budget, $200 million.
$200 million? Okay, so it was dead on. That's awesome. I mean, and you look at this cast. I mean, there's a lot of really big names.
A lot of big names.
Yeah. Dude, I love
it. Somehow Drax the Destroyer made it into the movie. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Now, they haven't really showed Baron Harkonnen.
They did it a little bit.
They did it a little, but man, I'm really kind of curious as to how they're going to pull him off.
Floating fat man.
Yeah,
I don't think it's going to be as gross as he was in the movie.
Not in the '80s movie. I loved him in the '80s movie. He was hilarious.
The other thing that I see
this also. If Dune pulls this off, if this IP pulls this off well, this is going to be successful if they make this the demilitarized zone of Marvel, the MCU and the DCU, because you have both DCU actors and MCU actors.
Oh, you do. And you've got
this
Star
could
Wars.
Be the you place got- where like, hey, where else are you going to see Drax and Aquaman together
in the same movie?
Well, you also got, Oscar Isaac from Star Wars.
Playing Duke Leo
Atreides. I think that there's some really great casting in this movie. And they've got, of course, Zendaya, who's playing, was it Shani?
Chaney.
She's phenomenal. I always like her in pretty much everything. She's just a phenomenal person.
In order to get this many, like, really well, you know, like up and coming or well known actors, it's the reason why they're coming, and this what comes down to it, is because of the director. If the director is able to, and this is, I don't see any possibility of, and I'm just, and this is my hot take on this, is the, I don't foresee any bad press on this.
Yeah, no,
I've already heard about it by now.
Yeah, yeah, no, I think everybody's pretty excited about this.
The movie's pretty much been in the can forever, so.
They finished filming in 2019. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a little while.
Yeah.
I'm really pumped for this movie. This is going to be probably my most anticipated movie of 2020 if it comes out in 2020.
Yeah, I am super stoked for this. Especially after seeing that sandworm.
Man, that thing's just nasty. Here's the other thing that now the sandworm is one thing in this movie, and that's what everybody kind of remembers and everything. But do we all remember what pilots the warp drives and the spaceships? Do you remember those creatures? What are those things?
They were the navigators, weren't they?
Yeah, the navigators.
But like, they were human, but they weren't really. They were like
mutated by the spice.
I really want to see what they do with those in this movie, because if the sandworm looks that awesome, man, everything else is going to look really cool too.
And I think the still suits are about as close as we're going to get for a Hollywood movie.
Yep.
If I remember correctly, in the books, I mean, they were like, they had a full headpiece as well, not just the
nose. There wasn't just the nostril bit.
Although
they feature pretty prominently, though.
But they get the nostril bit. I saw the face mask. At least Paul had it dangling off, but there was nothing actually covering their.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if they actually have a full head covering. Yeah.
Because the whole point was to capture every bit of moisture.
Yeah, you reused every drop of moisture. You didn't just have your face like sweating in the sun.
Those were humans? They used to be human?
They were
used to be human.
Yeah.
That's actually one of the weird things that they changed in the later books, actually, that Herbert changed in the books, apparently. In the first book, all they talk about is that the spice allows people to better navigate between the stars. They don't say anything about them folding space. It just allows for superior navigation. And then all of a sudden in the other books, they were folding space. Like, because they introduced it in the movie and then they carried it over into future books, apparently.
Yeah, and they live in like tanks filled with spice.
Yeah, big tanks full of spice. And
Now, they haven't, I couldn't remember that trailer didn't show anybody with like, affected spice eyes, did they? I couldn't remember seeing anybody.
Chani has I don't think they feature it in the trailer as much, but she does have those bright blue eyes.
Does she have those bright blue eyes? I couldn't remember seeing
stills that I've seen.
That was one of the big jokes in the 80s movie, actually, is they used dye originally to literally dye the whites of the actors' eyes, and it started to irritate their eyes so badly that they had to stop doing it. So then they went and CGI'd it, and that's why it's like halfway through the movie, it looks okay, and then all of a sudden, towards the end of the movie, it looks like absolute crap.
I'm interested if they'll still do the lip staining of the Mentats.
That would be okay.
But like in the 80s movie, it was terrible because it just looked like really bad clown.
Oh yeah, it was terrible. Make a terrible lipstick. Yeah.
So it makes me wonder how long. Like we've seen the sci-fi miniseries and how long that went. It's been forever since I've seen the 80s movie. Did the 80s movie pretty much follow the same timeline like for that, or did it cut off like
the 80s movie really makes some big jumps?
Yeah. And some big changes.
The first half of the movie is basically kind of in real time-ish sort of thing. And then once Paul is with the Fremen, they basically leap through the timeline in huge bounds, ignoring massive parts of the story.
Whereas the miniseries is actually very close to the book.
Yeah, the miniseries really follows the
minor
book
changes,
more.
I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be a really solid.
I'm sure it'll be a great movie.
I think it's going to be. Yeah.
I cannot wait.
Yeah. That just it
if
looks,
they were to throw that one out on a streaming service, I would pay $30 to see that.
I would too. Yeah,
I did finally see them on, and I really loved it.
Yeah, I haven't spent. You know, I'm not spending $30. I haven't even seen Bill and Ted. You know what?
I really want to see Bill and Ted.
Oh, I paid $25 for that.
Yeah, I'm waiting.
But I the whole family, we really enjoyed Mulan. I like what they did with it.
Wow. Yeah, I've heard a lot of negative things about that.
There's some controversy. No, seriously.
No, I have too, but it was funny. It was like your reaction, you know, Rob was like, hey, I really liked it. You're like, yeah, yeah, I heard really negative things about it.
Sorry, I didn't mean to be like that. I mean, I'm just surprised that like, he's saying it's good
because his tone did not explain his words.
You had the tone of agreement. Yeah.
My favorite, I really like though how it was not a shot for shot remake of the original Disney.
They need to stop doing that when they're doing movies. It was a very big
departure. I'd say it's probably about as big of a departure as we got with Maleficent from Sleeping Beauty. Maleficent is still my favorite. Then I would say Mulan, and then I would say Dumbo were my three favorite live action remakes. Wow. I liked the Dumbo remake.
What?
Look at Doug's face. I liked the Dumbo remake.
Beauty and the Beast was good.
Beauty and the Beast was good. Aladdin was great. I mean,
you're talking about the live action stuff?
Yeah.
He's Dumbo garbage.
Dumbo was
no.
Ever since I got I have two daughters, I hate Beauty and the Beast. It's like, listen, if you like a boy and he's mean to you, you'll like him even more.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Wow, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. Well, look at the 50 Shades of Grey movie. Everybody was freaking out about that. Oh, that's so cool. And then it was like, yeah, it's an abusive relationship. Oh, good.
Jason just went from Beauty and the Beast to 50 Shades of Grey. How
is the same thing?
That is
a guy. Jump. A guy emotionally and physically abuses a woman until she likes him. What the heck is that?
That is a very big jump from Beauty and the Beast to 50 Shades.
What the heck?
We'll get a whiteboard. Follow along as Jason leaps from genre to genre.
How does Beauty and the Beast relate to 50 Shades of Grey?
Oh my!
Jason will tell you.
You bet I will.
Dumbo was a great live action movie.
Wow.
Dude, the original animation was crap. The new one was good.
The whole Dumbo thing is garbage. There's no good Dumbo movie. Never.
No, it was a good movie.
But what about the song Baby Mine? Oh, I cry.
No, it's made to make you feel like a terrible person.
I mean, I'll admit I'm completely not the target audience for this at all.
Wow. Oh,
Hungry Ewok agrees with me.
Yeah, you know what? I haven't seen 50 Shades of Grey, but yeah, anything that you know
don't encourage Jason.
Yes, don't. Please don't.
Don't even like. I don't. I'm worried that I'm gonna have to like. This is gonna get tweeted out, and like people are gonna be like, "Chaotic Good Cast talks about the Beauty and the Beast and
50 Shades of Grey and how they're in this
game. Great race.
50 Shades.
Oh my God,
that's what it is. Yeah,
Beauty and the Grey.
See? You want my LWO on this? As hot
oh man, what's the LWO?
That was Ben's take. Instead of hot take, it's LWO. It's lukewarm opinion.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. Because we can't say hot take anymore.
We can't say
caliente take.
It's the caliente take.
I like take con carne. Oh, it's a take with meat.
Oh, erotica by Stanley.
Oh man.
Actually, these episodes, I tell you. To further confuse things, 50 Shades of Grey was originally Twilight fan fiction.
Yes. That's right. I knew that.
That's
How do you know that? I didn't even know that.
Because everybody knew that. The movie really cheesed me off. I'm being polite.
What, the Twilight movie?
No, 50 Shades. The Twilight movies were crappy too, but 50 Shades of Grey was just... It was a terrible example to put out there for a community of people that don't deserve that kind of garbage in their like shadowing their...
I could see that.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, I haven't.
Like, stalk a woman, emotionally abuse her, don't take no for an answer, and she'll like you. That's 50 Shades of Grey.
Okay, I guess
Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah. Well, see, you see, Doug? This is how we get from Beauty and the Beast to 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Yes, we do. We need a Venn diagram.
Oh, man. No,
all right, I guess this podcast wasn't much about Dune. It was about how much Beauty and the Beast
diagram. Like, we really don't. Please do not make a Venn diagram, and please do not tweet it at me.
Hungry Ewok, I expect to see that, and then we'll have Doug put that up on the next episode.
Yeah.
On screen.
That'll be our lead-in image.
Yeah, I think so.
How'd you call the BTG? Oh, man. You know what? Okay. I gotta say, if Ben was here, Ben would be furiously typing something at now and be like, what is Ben doing? And then at the end, at the post credits, he'll be singing some kind of Beauty and the Beast. He'll have Be Our Guest, but it'll be like Be Our Shades or Be Our Shades or some random thing.
Wait,
like
isn't
that.
Be Our Guest? No, that's from Beauty and the Beast.
BDS.
Okay. No.
Oh, Ben's gonna be so proud of us.
I know.
Ben's gonna listen to this and be like, "What the heck? I'm never coming back."
I think Doug is gonna say that. He's like, yeah, I'm done.
It's my show.
Yeah. I'm done.
Oh, I'm taking right, my okay, podcast okay. and going home.
Let's get back on the rails.
This is
for
why
a little
we
while.
Can't have nice things anymore, guys. Oh, jeez. Anyway,
thank you for watching the kid.
I'm very excited right for now. Dune. Dune is going to be great, and we won't be able to compare it to 50 Shades of Grey, which is awesome.
More than likely not, no, but I'll see what I can do.
Could do something, yeah, with those navigators.
That's true. They are in a tank.
Oh, they're cap- oh then we
there's
have to
a
do
lot
like
of
that
in the 80s movie.
Oh, it's like Shape of Water.
The Shape of Water in Dune. Oh, that'll be the
Shape of
Fire. And then you can do it's like 50. So it's like it's 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, but it's 6 degrees of 50 Shades of Grey. Because then you would be like, okay, Shape of Water, then Beauty and the Beast, then
50 Shades of Grey. Oh my god. See, it's not even my fault now, Doug. It's not even my fault anymore.
But you started it, Jason. You started it.
This is all your fault, Jason.
Man, I tell you.
Oh, my God.
Jeez, I tell you, this is very eventful, and I'm so glad we get to talk about Dune the whole episode. Like
this is why you keep me around.
I gotta be honest though. I think this is high quality. Can you submit this podcast to like you know some sort of award show?
We're never going to get an award ever.
Oh, we totally should.
I think this particular episode would probably get an award.
Oh man.
Yeah, for your consideration, like they'll be on the bottom. Yeah.
We'll send out DVDs to everyone.
I tell you, I don't know. I don't know about you.
I don't know about you.
I don't know about you.
I don't know how to quit you.
I don't know how to quit you.
All right, now we're going to do the drama. Yeah, come on. Jason, make some tears. It's for your consideration.
And that is why I have to buy Preparation H.
Oh man!
Remember that old what was that? The old Energizer commercial where it's like the cowboy jumps in the horse, and they're like, "Cut, cut!" And they're like, "Great job!" And yeah, but my hemorrhoids are killing me. And they start to go into like, but then the Energizer bunny comes through, and he's like, "Doom, doom, doom."
I have hemorrhoids now. Never
well,
going to
we
win.
Were talking about sandworms. I just figured that was just the next, you know.
Yeah, sandworms, thing. Hemorrhoids.
Yeah, come on, Doug. You're the host. You're gonna put us back on track here, man.
He's ready to just react. He's like,
man, you know, some days I just wonder about my friends.
This is the toll that remote learning takes, you know.
Man, yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
It's been a tough week. My last week was a tough week. We had, of course, school started on Tuesday, and we had a lot of family stuff going on, and you know, as well. So, yeah, it's been a rough probably 10 days or so. So, even though I joke and I you know pretend that I'm you know irritated with this conversations and this ridiculousness, it's a nice escape from everything that's going on. So,
nice change of pace.
And I really appreciate everybody that comes on and tunes in and you know it's a lot of fun, and I'm glad that you all can all kind of connect, even though we can't physically connect because of everything that's going on. So
that's all right. Once we finally can, it'll just be one big human centipede.
Thus, getting back to 50 Shades of Grey.
It's gray.
Yeah, anyway, so that's going to do it for this episode of the Chaotic Good Cast. I want to thank all of my co-hosts for coming on. I want to thank... Nope, I'm not thanking any of them because they were all tonight.
Scroll, you guys. Okay, now, Human Centipede, Dune, Shape of Water, Beauty and the Beast, 50 Shades of Grey.
We need a flow chart now. Like, there's got to be a timeline. Chase your dreams.
Chase your dreams.
That's Barney's dream, apparently.
Oh, boy. See, this is what happens when you put us all in a room together, even virtually.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Barney. Thank you, Hungry Ewok, Cameron, and all the other folks that have tuned in and watched us live. If you enjoyed this podcast, please hit a like down below. Let me know in the comments if you think Jason's correct and that, you know, 50 Shades of Grey and Beauty and the Beast are somewhat related. And
all right, I'm gonna throw this out there. Whoever can create the best chart or diagram, send it into the show, and I will pick one lucky winner who creates the best chart or Venn diagram or whatever, and I will send them a cool prize.
Okay. contest. We have a contest.
We've got a contest. So when you listen to this and all of our shenanigans, you create the Venn diagram or the chart or the timeline or something, that an infographic that connects
fan art, movies. Fan art
or fan art. Fan art works too.
That ties those two movies together.
No, or the whole string that Barney put together at the end.
A lot of talking about rope now.
I will send you a prize that will most likely be some kind of game accessory or small game. I will have more details by the next podcast, but I will put something on the line for this.
All right.
Here you go, Hungry Ewok.
And I got to say too, as part of that donation, I will donate at least 3 pictures that are behind Doug, and those frames will also be...
Wait, what about a family photo? What issue of X-Men do you have like 80 of now?
What's those?
Yeah, maybe one or two of those,
or a random piece of Lego.
Yeah, I've got some prizes sitting over here I've been waiting to give out, so it'll be one of those cool things.
Nice. All right, folks, that's gonna do it for this episode. It was chaotic, but it was so good. See you next week. All right. Who's singing this out? Jason, I think since you derailed us so much this episode, you
this should is sing your us punishment. Out. You have to sing.
But I can't sing.
You know, I will say that you're probably going to be correct on the Arium Kickstarter. I don't know if you've checked that at all lately.
I've been watching it actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think next episode I'm going to have to show up with purple hair.
I got a song for you. It could be, "There must be more than this chaotic life." Beauty and the Beast.
Right? Oh, right. Hey, yeah. Did you ever see that meme that was saying, "One of these days, I was hoping that I grew up to be Belle in Beauty and the Beast, but I ended up being that woman yelling out, 'I want 6 eggs.'"
I've explained to you the whole theory behind why they're too expensive, right?
No.
So we know that Gaston eats 4 dozen eggs every morning. He's basically created a shortage in the surrounding region of eggs.
That's why
6 eggs is so expensive for this poor woman, because Gaston is eating them all.
There's another funny comic. Did you see this one where it was like showing Belle singing, you know, "There goes the baker with his tray, like always, the same old bread and rolls to sell." And then it goes right up to the baker, and he looks up, and there's a tear in his eyes, like, "Screw you too, Belle."